This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good morning. Always a privilege sitting in for Mark and crew as they all take an extra day off, which they are very much deserving. They'll be back on Monday. All right. This is a great clip. This came out of Australia. An Australian broadcasting executive was asked about the Joe Rogan effect on the election. You need to hear this. This is really important because this is the attitude a lot of these people have toward the media they can no longer control. Listen to this.
So I'm just wondering if you had any observations about what's behind the Joe Rogan effect, how you believe he's managed to so successfully capture this huge market. And then for us here in Australia, you know, how would or should the ABC be going about capturing that kind of audience?
Look, I'm not sure that I'm the right person to respond to that question. I am not a consumer or enthusiast about Mr. Rogan and his work.
Okay. Shocking.
I am not one of the 3 billion, and I'm unlikely to be 3 billion and 1 anytime soon.
But
I think people like Mr. Rogan prey on people's vulnerabilities. They prey on fear. They prey on anxiety. They prey on all of the elements that contribute to uncertainty in society. And they entrepreneur fantasy outcomes and conspiracy outcomes as being a normal part of social narrative. I personally find it deeply repulsive. And to think that someone has such remarkable power in the United States is something that I look at in disbelief.
There
I'm also
go.
Absolutely in dismay that this can be a source of public entertainment when it's really treating the public as plunder for purposes that are really quite malevolent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. So this is an executive with ABC in Australia talking about Joe Rogan. Where to begin? First of all, these people can't stand the thought that they have lost the ability to control the narrative. I think we can all agree on that, right? They don't like you having an alternate point of view or even the ability to find any kind of alternative to what's being pushed down your throat. They can't stand it. Secondly, Joe Rogan doesn't, I don't believe, and I haven't watched a ton of his stuff, all right? I like him a lot. I think he's very talented. Met him years ago and interviewed him when he was doing Fear Factor. He was nothing but a nice guy. I haven't talked to him since, but nice guy. I wish him nothing but success. The reason he's successful, and I did watch the Trump interview and I did watch J.D. Vance. I don't watch a lot of his stuff because I don't have 3 hours. I don't, but I do like him. But the reason he's successful is because he's curious. He sits down with people who know more than he does about whatever, and he actually wants to hear what they have to say. He's got a curious mind. He's not about, oh, look how much I know about this or that. That's why he's successful, in my opinion. And he does very well. You don't have to tune in to Joe's show. You don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to. But it's making them crazy that they can't. And it plays down to people. How does it play to people's fears? How? All Joe has said is, I know people who've been injured by the shot. Those are some of the things that make the people crazy on the vaccine side. That's all he said. He's not telling people not to get shots. He's telling, you know, just asking questions of experts on various issues, which is what we should all do. All the information is, when it comes to vaccines should have been out there. All the information should have been out there. I had people, I had a guy in my church, told my husband, Dad, dude, you should get the shot. I've done the research. Oh, really? I haven't seen the research. Is there research out there that I'm not aware of? There is no research because there was no research because the stuff that they knew about, they covered up. Give me a break. I'm not trying to go over old stuff, but we can never forget what they did. Never. This is what they don't want you to know. They don't want you to even think for yourself and go, wait a minute. hold on a second. I already had COVID. Don't I have some kind of immunity? I had COVID once 4 years ago, and maybe twice, because about a year later, I lost my sense of taste and smell for a couple of days. I didn't feel bad, but I lost my sense of taste and smell, which is a weird thing. I didn't have that the first time I had COVID. My husband did. I did not. But the second time, so it may have been COVID, I didn't get tested. That was it in 4 years. How many variants have been out there? How many? People getting shots left and right and getting COVID left and right. I'm not. Because that's not the way our bodies work. I mean, if can you imagine if everybody got sick every single year from the same strain of flu? I haven't had the flu for 15 years, no more than that. 2007 is the last time I got the flu. I remember because I just started a new radio job. I hadn't been there a month and they're trying to run a bunch of best ofs. I couldn't get out of bed. Could not stand up to take a shower for a week. But that was the last time I got the flu. So, and I'm generally healthy, obviously. And people who are have immune issue, okay, fine. I can understand you wanting to be more cautious about things, but they never tell you, you know, get outside, take a walk. I saw a story the other day in a local paper. Some woman died of COVID. The first flu death of the year, woman in her 70s. Okay, sad. I don't know what her situation was. Don't know what her health was. But the first thing they tell you to do in the mainstream media, run out, get a shot. How about if you take a walk? How about if you stop smoking? How about if you stop eating too much? How about if you stop making your body weak? And then whenever things go around, this is why I haven't gotten sick in 4 years, because when things go around, you don't get them. Because you're generally healthy. I'm out walking every day, 45 minutes to an hour, every day with my dogs. And I'm not, believe me, I'm not Susie Jim. Trust me, I don't even like gyms. But you've got to, you know, when COVID happened, first thing they told you to do, stay in the house. Don't go outside. Don't do this. Don't do that. When they should have been telling people, get outside, get some sunshine. Vitamin D is good for you. Get out and walk. You know, get some exercise. Stop smoking. These are things that will increase your likelihood of having severe problems due to COVID or possibly dying. But the doctors who said that were silenced, censored, you know, whatever you want to call it, canceled. They weren't allowed to speak. And that's why they don't like people like Joe Rogan. And that's why they don't like people like me, people like Mark Cox, who are speaking out, just saying, I'm just asking questions here. That's all I'm doing. Put all the information out there and let people decide which side they're going to believe. You should always have been able to decide for yourself. And the nonsense they pushed, well, if everyone has to have a shot for you to be safe. That's hooey. And I clean that up for the air. That's hooey. Because the way vaccines work, if you go to Borneo on vacation and you want to get a shot for some weird disease you might catch over there, then you get the shot. You don't demand that everybody in Borneo have the same vaccine. You're protected, right? That's how these things work. That's what they told us. But they don't want you to have that information. They don't want you to think for yourself. And I think I got through like biology 102 in college. It's not like I'm any biology major. How hard is this to figure out? You get a vaccine, you're protected. Everybody on the bus doesn't have to have it. Everybody on the plane doesn't have to have a shot. Everybody in school doesn't have to have a shot because you're protected. It's automatically assumed that people around you are germy. Have you been to Walmart? Just kidding. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, remember they used to joke about when you get on a plane, how you always get sick because you've got hundreds of people jammed on that little tube for hours and hours and hours, blowing their noses, you know, not washing their hands. And it's just, it's always been a petri dish. Always. But if you're healthy, you take care of yourself, and maybe you need some cold medicine once in a while or whatever. But if you take care of yourself, that's the best possible thing you can do. Because I got news for you. If worse things come to America, you're going to be the first person who's going to go. You can't run. You can't walk. You can't breathe already because most people in America are overweight. Diabetes runs rampant. All these things. That's what makes you sick. I mean, I was sick as a dog when I got COVID the first time, and that's because I was working mornings. I was still doing mornings and not getting any sleep. And so that's why one of the reasons I left mornings. And it was a decision I made for my life and my health. I just couldn't, I thought, you know, I can't do this anymore. Get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was an election year. I was getting texts, you know, from the White House at 4 a.m, 8 o'clock at night, and answering all those because, you know, not because I'm so important, but just because the White House bookers, you know, if you don't take somebody, someone else will take them. You got to grab these guests when you can and that kind of thing. So not complaining about any of that, but eventually you get to where you just, you have to think of it. Sleep's really important. It's a factor, huge factor in your health. But they never tell you that. Get a shot. That'll solve it. No, it doesn't. How many people do you know have had shots, 14 shots, and they keep getting COVID? Why? Clearly, that's not the answer. So once again, I'm not telling anybody to get a shot or not get a shot. I'm telling you the information has been out there on the other side, but those people have been silenced and censored. That's why they hate Joe Rogan. That's why they hate anybody who questions the narrative. And that's why they try to silence any of us who've asked questions, including me. And, you know, that's not what we need. We need more information. Free speech, we need to have more free speech. Hate speech, it can be canceled out by more speech.
Back in 1980, 70% of clothing worn by Americans was made by Americans. Today, it's 2%. And the reason is simple. It's cheaper to make things overseas. But that doesn't change the fact that 2% of textile manufacturers have refused to give up on this country. And those companies deserve to be congratulated. I'm talking about companies like American Giant. American Giant controls every link in their supply chain. And that matters because when you buy from American Giant, you create jobs for people in factory towns all across this country. Look, I get it. Nobody wants a lecture. But if you want to see more companies make more things in this country, you got to support the companies who are already doing that very thing. This holiday, check out the clothing at American-Giant.com. Flannels, hoodies, t-shirts, and jeans made to last a lifetime. Support the 2% who are still making it here at American-Giant.com.
That's right. I think so. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Always a privilege hanging out and giving Mark Cox and crew a day off. Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg was down at Mar-a-Lago. I think it's kind of funny. A lot of people are saying that's a turning point for the media. And I think it is. I mean, you can argue and say, it's not, but I think it is because the folks in mainstream media and social media, especially, I wouldn't call Facebook mainstream media, folks in social media are realizing now that their butts are on the line. I mean, had Trump not won, Elon Musk probably would have had major problems keeping X afloat because the other folks, the people on the left would have tried to cut off his advertising and things like that because they were so furious with him for once again putting out another point of view. I mean, there are all kinds of people on X, and I'm here to give them a free plug. I'm on it because I'm a news person and paying attention to news, and I like to read all points of view. There are all points of view on X every day that I see that I don't agree with. And you have a choice. If they're really nasty and I don't engage trolls anymore. I don't bother with them. People will say things and sometimes I've been known to respond, wait a minute, I checked my list of people whose opinion matters. Hold on. Whoops. Oh, you're not on it. Sorry. No, there's that. But I don't know why you'd care what a stranger thinks. I mean, obviously we do have to, in radio, have to care what strangers think to a certain point if they listen or not, right? That's important. But somebody trashing you don't even know about, you're thinking, you're just a miserable guy sitting in your house just taking shots at people, which is kind of rude. Frankly, kind of rude. But social media is obviously here to stay. And I like the fact that X has different points of view on it. And Facebook, unfortunately, tends to throttle things that you put on or, say it's hateful and whatnot. But the idea that Martin, remember, these guys colluded. People at Facebook colluded, and Twitter before it was owned by Elon Musk, colluded with the government to throttle things they didn't like or that government didn't want them to do. We know this for a fact now. So this is from Fox. National political correspondent Maggie Haberman said Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg's recent visit to President-elect Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort may show that industries are seeking to build a bridge with Trump ahead of the inauguration, not the other way around. Right. Exactly right. Maggie Haberman said, it's not clear whether Zuckerberg sought this meeting or Trump sought this meeting, but one person described it as Trump essentially saying, hey, why don't you come over to Mar-a-Lago? Maybe. I mean, it's always a good idea to talk to your enemies. What I call Zuckerberg Trump's enemy, I don't know about that. But it's always good to talk with people you don't agree with, always. And sometimes you can come to an understanding, sometimes not. But they understand now that their livelihoods are on the line. And listen, I'm not saying Facebook has an obligation to put anything on their platform. They don't. I mean, I'm on X, I'm on Twitter. I didn't create these platforms. They did. So I'm not saying everything should be allowed on there, but you can't just go in there and collude with the government to limit certain points of view. You can't do that. And they've done that. We know they've done that. And the problem is, see, they thought they could do this in 2020. You can still argue whether Trump won in 2020. I think he did. I think there were enough shenanigans to prove that, but I'm not going there. But I do, back in 2020, they had control of the narrative more than they do now. Because Elon Musk didn't have X. Joe Rogan, I don't know how long he's done his podcast, but it wasn't as much of a factor as it is now. These kinds of things matter to people. Because that's where a lot of folks are. So it's just funny to me to see them trying to come to an agreement. One person was quoted saying, as you said, Zuckerberg has expressed praise for Trump earlier this year for his defiant posture after he was shot in Butler, Pennsylvania by a would-be assassin. This is Maggie Haberman. She was telling CNN. She said, added later that clearly Zuckerberg wants to have a better relationship with Trump. Yeah, he's going to need to. He's going to have to. They're all going to have to. If they're going to get a seat at the table. And I'm not saying they need to kiss up to him. Nobody should do that. We should have media outlets and news outlets who are still asking tough questions of our leaders, because in most of the world, they don't get that option. Remember during COVID and all the time, Trump was always out there talking to the press. Always, every day for a while there with the COVID stuff. Every day he was talking to a snake pit of people in the briefing room who would come in. Most of them hated his guts. He would talk to them every single day. Stand in front of the helicopter, stand in front of the plane every day. Kamala didn't do that. Joe Biden didn't do that. Obama didn't do that. They're not going to deal with a hostile press. And Trump did it, took them on every day and dealt with them and handled them every day. So we should have that kind of press. We should have people in the news who ask questions of the people who wait for it, work for us. You're a politician. I pay your salary. You know what? You work for me. But unfortunately, there are people in the media who think they have so much power and control because they used to. I remember years ago, this is probably 20 years ago, I had somebody in studio. At the time, the station I worked for had a kind of a, what do you want to call it, a partnership with a local newspaper. You know, we'd have their columnists on, you know, once a week or something, and they would put our ads in, which was a great partnership. And I got to know a lot of these columnists. And by the way, we're still friends to this day. And many of them, I don't necessarily agree on politically, but we've maintained great friendships. They've been nice people. Once again, you get them in studio and you get to see them as human beings, right? Not that I didn't think they were human beings, but it's nice. But I remember we were talking about something one time, and one of the men said, well, you tell people what to think. And I said, no, I don't. I do not tell people. You think you have the power to tell people what to think. I don't for a second believe I tell people what to think. I share my point of view. I give you my take on something, but I do not tell people what to think. Do you have that clip, Ethan, of Mika Brzezinski?
Well, and I think that the dangerous, you know, edges here are that he's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that while unemployment and the economy worsens, he could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah.
That's our job, to tell people what to think. See, that's why they're going crazy. They're used to saying, this is how it is. Don't question us, you moron. And that's over now. But I do believe there should always be multiple sources of news. There should also always be people of different points of view who are asking the questions of politicians, Trump and anybody else. I mean, there's some people he's picked for his cabinet I think are great. Some people, I say, I'm shaking my head going, are you kidding me? I mean, like the guy he's picking for the Secretary of Navy. He's never even been in the Navy. He's never even served in the... What? How can you pick somebody to be the Secretary of the Navy who's never served in the military? How can you do that? Because he's a businessman. He raised money for you. He gets to play with battleships. Okay, I'm going to try to calm down now. I can't believe it. But people have to be able to ask these questions. You always have to have a press that is asking. But the problem is they don't ask the questions of the left. They accept everything that's said on the left as gospel. Well, they don't even believe in the gospel, a lot of them. But if you're on the right, oh boy, we're going to question everything you do. Remember that? Yeah. So I don't think Facebook should only be putting out pro-Trump things at all. But they certainly shouldn't be silencing one point of view or colluding with the government to silence one point of view. Absolutely not. And that's not the way this game is played. I'm Heidi Harris. You can check all the socials. Heidi Harris Show. Find me there. I'm Heidi Harris Show. Or Heidi Harris. In from Mark Cox.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good morning. Always a privilege sitting in for Mark and crew as they take an extra day off for the weekend. I expect them back on Monday. Ethan's here with me, though. And thank you, Ethan. I so appreciate you, bud.
Thank you.
Expertly running all the stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Behind the scenes. Well, I would. I mean, I haven't run a board since the stuff you have now. Back when I did it, it was like a cart.
Yeah.
Like the 8-track. Oh, my gosh. That's how long ago that was. crazy stuff. Did you see this video of this cart-to-cart Costco confrontation? Everybody has a phone now, right? So you can't get away with being nasty even at Costco without someone videotaping it, right?
Yeah, I did see this.
Videotape, I guess. Would you still call it videotaping? Not really, just videoing, I guess. Yeah, so I guess all these people have their carts. By the way, the Costco carts, can we all agree, are really oversized? Can we start with that?
I think they have to be, though. The giant stuff you put in them.
I guess so. But my gosh, I'm sure there's been mass discussions about how large the carts should be at Costco, but they are ridiculously huge. And they take up a lot of space in the hallway there, in the aisle. So apparently this guy rammed his shopping cart with a woman's shopping cart with his own as he impatiently tried to push through a sea of shoppers in an aisle, according to somebody who posted it on some thread on Reddit. So he stared, staring down the logjam. The man who had a small dog with him talked about people needing to get out before he went cart to cart with the woman. Okay. One Reddit person said, there's nothing I want less than to be in a Costco near a holiday.
Ain't that the truth?
Can we all agree on that? People are already the worst there. I can't imagine how often they'd be the day before Thanksgiving or Christmas. Right. Can we all start with the idea that you wait till the last minute to do anything and then you're already behind the eight ball and you're already mad? Right. If you go into Costco or Sam's Club, which we belong to, or any of those places, the day before a holiday. I mean, don't make that your big shop day because you know it's going to be nuts. If you don't lose your Christmas spirit in the parking lot, I don't know what to tell you. Right? You know, they got the guy out there ringing the bell to get donations and everybody's all nice and sweet and happy and it's Christmas, except in the parking lot where people are, it's dog eat dog and they're trying to grab each other's parking spaces. Yeah, are people ruder now? Or are we just getting more of this stuff on video? Is that what it comes down to?
I think a little bit of both. I think it's both. I think, people are... People just don't care anymore. You know what I mean? Like I hate to say people are more self-centered, but it's what it seems like.
No, they are. You know what? For example, you're in a parking lot, okay? It's holiday season. It's dog eat dog. Somebody gets in their car. You know they're in their car because you just saw them get in their car. And they know you're waiting because they see your little flashy light and they know you're trying to get... And they sit there and they sit there and they sit there with zero concern or any awareness that there are people waiting for their parking space. I see that happen all the time. And of course, it's like Murphy's Law. The minute you pull ahead and give up on them, they back out.
Yep. Every time.
And someone else grabs a spot. But yeah, I agree with you. They don't seem to be aware of others. There's no awareness for it. There was a woman who drowned at a particular club in Vegas, I don't know, a year or two ago. She literally drowned in the pool. It's a shallow pool because I used to belong to that club. It's like 4 feet deep at the deepest. Okay. She drowns in the pool and I saw the video of it. Nobody noticed her. I would have noticed her. I would have pulled her out and a bunch of people walked by her and nobody even cared.
That's sad.
I think there's just no awareness of others anymore or concern about others anymore. I think that's really what it comes down to. I don't know.
There's some people that would, they're scared of getting sued, though, if you step in on certain situations, too, though, you know?
Yeah, and they expect others to take over, I think, is what it is. Someone else will take care of that. You know, it's not my job to take care of that.
Right.
You know, and someone else will rescue that dog in the car when it's 110. Someone else will, some dog's in the middle of the street. I'll just leave him. You know, someone else will do whatever. Someone else will put the shopping cart away. I saw a thing online the other day. I don't have it in front of me. But it was a whole, I don't want to call it a dissertation, on the shopping cart theory. Have you heard about this?
I don't think so. Enlighten me.
Okay, so it's all about the idea. Yeah, okay. I'm just gonna read this from Wikipedia. I hate Wikipedia because they let people lie about you. Mine has all kinds of stuff on there, aren't true, but that's okay. Okay. The shopping cart theory. Apparently, it's an internet meme which judges a person's ethics by whether or not they return a shopping cart to its designated cart corral or deposit area. Apparently, the shopping cart theory, there's some kind of litmus test for a person's capability of self-control and governance as a way to judge one's moral character. And, you know, when you think about that, there's a lot of truth to it, because no one's going to fine you if you don't put the shopping cart back.
Right.
Right. Detractors of this theory, according to Wikipedia, which never lies, have cited various reasons why returning the cart is unfavorable, with concerns about leaving children unattended as one of the more commonly referenced. And I would agree with that. You've got toddlers. You get your toddlers in your car. I'm not leaving mine either.
Right.
But you also don't want somebody to have to be hit by a shopping cart or have their car hit or they back into it or whatever else. But if you've got little kids, you're trying to get your little kids in the car, you get them in the car, you lock the car, you're not going to have to go somewhere else. I wouldn't do it. But it's interesting because what you can really tell about a person, you can tell about a nation by what you do when there's no repercussion, right? Like, you don't have to save that dog out of the street. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to stop you. If it's going to stop and give you a fine for not caring about whatever might be happening, or opening the door for somebody. I had a woman one time. I was at a particular retailer, not going to mention which one, older woman, and she was in her walking to her car, and there was a guy hanging around the parking lot. You probably don't see these because you're a guy, but they're always hanging around looking for women getting in their cars by themselves, just walking through the cars.
Yeah.
And I had seen him, and I pulled up behind her, and he started to come up behind her because she was trying to put something in her trunk. And I was in my car, and I pulled up right behind her, and I said, I'm just going to sit right here until you get in your car. And she never saw him. She hadn't noticed that the guy was lurking around. Now, what his intentions were, I don't know. Probably to surprise her, but I can tell you that a gentleman doesn't do that, right? A gentleman does not sneak up on a woman in any circumstance.
Right.
So he's kind of lurking around. So I pull up behind her and I sit and I wait for her to put her groceries in. I said, you need help? She says, no, I don't. I said, okay. So I just sat there with my car. Now, if he'd gotten closer, I'd have gotten out of the car, but I didn't have to. So I sat there in my car and waited for this woman to get into her car. And then we got to talk, and it turned out she was the personal assistant for a very famous person. Everybody would know his name, and I'm not going to mention it. But she was a very nice person. And I would want someone to do that for my mom or my grandmother. But I could have driven by. That's not my problem. You know, there's some guys, you know, lurking around. So what? You know, so what if he scares her? So what if she gets so scared and startled that she's going to have to give him $10 to, you know, who knows? Who knows what these people are? But we have to look out for each other. And there's so little of that today. People just go about their business. I don't care. This woman hasn't come up. She's kind of bobbing on the bottom of the pool. But I got things to do. I've got a couple more reps to get to. And, you know, before it's leg day. So I've got to go, that's the attitude a lot of folks have. They just are totally oblivious to the needs of others and what's going on with people. And it's sad. And I don't know if everyone's just so busy or so focused on themselves that they just don't think about it. I don't know. But the shopping cart, I do think the shopping cart is kind of it says something about you ethically. And I'll be honest, I don't always put it back. I try to. And ever since I heard about the shopping cart theory, I try to do it more, right? Because I don't want to be that person with no ethics.
I actually try to park closer to a shopping cart corral just so I don't have to walk it that far.
Right.
So I already know I'm going to put it up, and now I'm two spots away instead of four or five.
Exactly. Exactly right. So I think if we're all just a little kinder to each other, it would make the world a better place. I think we can all. That's something we can all agree on.
Yes.
For sure. Yes, we can. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Cox. You can follow me, Heidi Harris Show, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, videos, podcasts, whatever. Heidi Harris Show, coming right back.
Heidi Harris on 97.1 FM Talk. Everyone's
watching. Always a privilege sitting in for Mark and the gang so they could have a longer weekend. That's fun. Always fun. It's been a great time today here with Ethan. You can follow me, Heidi Harris Show, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, podcasts, all that good stuff. Does anybody watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Anybody? Is there anyone in the world who watches that? Ethan? I'm not raising my hand. Anybody?
I had it on. It's one of those things.
No,
it's always a background filler.
It.
Yeah, oh. We just put it on and we're doing cleaning up the house, get the house where, you know, putting the turkey in. It's just on in the background.
Okay. All right, so you're the one. Okay, anyway, apparently, did you see the arrests? They had mass arrests as anti-Israel protesters were blocking this thing. Did you see that?
I just saw this on Fox News. I don't think they showed any of that live. You know, they
yeah,
weren't going to show that.
Well, they don't want to do that, right, because they don't want to give these people the it's like if you run naked onto a football field anymore or a soccer field, they don't show it.
Yeah. They want to show
Swift
it.
Swift did it.
Make it seem like it's still a wholesome place instead of protesters protesting everywhere.
Right. If Taylor Swift did it, they'd probably show it, but anyway, I don't think she will. Anyway, so yeah, so they apparently the second year in a row they've tried to do this, and the cops, you know, it's interesting too. The cops show up, they immediately get about 25 people and they arrest them. It just goes to show you, I don't care where you are, like in Vegas, they just had the stupid Formula One thing, okay? A disaster for the town. A disaster. And if you're bored, you can check out my podcast on this topic with Formula One and what it did to Vegas. I did a video on it. It's on YouTube. Heidi Harris Show. You can check it all out. Okay. I literally did a video driving around the strip with the nonsense. It destroys the strip. It's terrible. Okay. Just destroys it. But, you know, it's interesting because they've had some problems in the past with homeless people on some of the walkways. They're gone when they have F1. I mean, I'm not going to tell you Vegas is taken over by homeless people on the strip because that's not true. But there were some places where they had some issues. They're all cleaned up. I mean, if cops have the will, they will clear the stuff out, right? It's amazing how they can do that. Remember in Paris when they had the Olympics, they were clearing out all the homeless people? They can do it if they have the will. You know, so the New York City Police, I mean, not that NYPD is the problem, but it's the management and trying and the attitude of the higher-ups telling them what to do. But boy, when they want something to go on, I'm looking at some pictures here in the New York Post. Ronald McDonald is looming right over all these protests. Have you seen it?
Yeah, that's what they were showing on Fox, too.
Yeah, a big floating Ronald McDonald and looking over all the people being arrested. Oh, brother. At what point are you making when you're doing that? And then people, of course, are yelling at them. You know, New York, they'll give you the Bronx cheer. And they were screaming about, let's see, what does our sign say? Don't celebrate genocide. I'm sorry. What does Ronald McDonald have to do with genocide? I'm asking you. Other than the food. Okay. Let's see. Free Palestine. Arms embargo now. Oh, brother. Okay. Okay. I mean... But I'm glad they immediately dispatched these people. But it is funny, isn't it, to see the Ronald McDonald in the background?
It is kind of funny. If you haven't seen it, go look at it.
Yeah. Was that the first float that they had? I mean, why would it be right in front of him? Is that the first float of the parade, or do we know?
I don't know. I don't know what was the first one. Unless they just, you know, that's the time they decided to run out there. They found a break in the line.
Maybe. You're going to lose your man card for watching the Thanksgiving parade at Macy's.
I lost that a long time ago.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you have to wonder with these protesters, do they ever, I'm not saying people shouldn't protest. God bless America. You have the right to do it. Certain places, like there've been a couple of years I've emceed events in Washington DC, like the rally for the fentanyl. People have lost their kids to fentanyl and things like that. And one of the things I love about Washington DC, I know it's a swamp. I get all that. All right. But one of the things that makes us so unique in America is you can walk around Washington, D.C., and on one corner, somebody's singing about Jesus. On another corner, somebody's protesting the war or any war or whatever, right? You can get a permit or whatnot to do it. But it's so great that we at least have the ability to do that. My frustration is when these people want to stop an event like this, or when they want to block cars from driving somewhere out in the desert or whatever it might be. Don't do that. You know, really, don't do that. Why ruin it for everybody? All people do is get mad at you. Is anybody going to become sympathetic to your cause because you stopped their parade? They brought their kid out to a parade to see Ronald McDonald floating in the air and other things, and they don't want your politics. They just want to watch something fun. I don't know. So then, you know, then you make it miserable. And then people get mad at you, and they have to explain to your kids, well, Mommy, why are they doing that? Well, because they're protesters, and they don't have jobs. And they've been sent by somebody to protest. I mean, you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to get all these people that you arrest and pull out a map, pull out a globe, bring a globe in, you know, just get a globe somewhere. bring it into the interrogation room or wherever they're being booked or processed, whatever, and say, here, here's a map. Show me where Palestine is. I guarantee you they can't do it. I guarantee you they have no idea where Israel is. They can't find any of these things. It's like all these kids who are so smart, they think they're smart because they have a smartphone, right? Ask your kid to pull out his or her phone, pull up a map of America, and show me where you live. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Tell me how smart your kid is. Please, please show me. You have no idea. Here's a map. What's a map? No. We're so smart in some ways. And so and the problem is we don't even realize that we're not up to speed on a lot of things. We just don't even realize it. Especially the kids now that they're taught to be applauded for getting out of bed and going to school. You know what killed it, Ethan? I'm going to say this as a non-parent because you're a parent.
What's that?
You know what killed everything? Kindergarten graduation. Okay, come on. That never should have. You know what I got after kindergarten when I was a kid? You know what I got?
What's that?
I got first grade. That's what I got.
That's what I got.
No party, no ticker tape parade, no ice cream sundaes, no nothing. I got first grade. I got summer to hang out and do summer stuff and never in any camp or anything like that, just summer stuff. And then I got first grade. I didn't expect a round of applause for getting out of bed and learning how to put the lid on a marker when I'm five, right?
Yeah.
Here's a certificate. This, and then you come to expect this. Everything in your life has got to be a parade. You know, and it's no wonder a lot of employers are having problems with the younger generation because they, you're not going to, it's like running into a football game. You know, when they run out of the tunnel and everybody on the side is cheering for them. I think that's what some people expect when they go to work at a certain age. They just walk in the building and they expect everyone to applaud. Yay, you showed up. No, that's not it. What's the best way to put this? I think we have encouraged people to expect to be applauded for things we used to all take for granted. Would that be fair to say? I think it would be.
Yeah.
You get out of bed, you go to work. That's what you do. Or you go to school. You know, your parents get out of bed, go to work. That's the way it should be. This idea that I want a parade because I graduated from kindergarten. Oh, gosh. Oh, heaven's sake. Listen, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Mark and crew will be back on Monday. I'm Heidi Harris. Follow me, Heidi Harris Show, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I do videos, podcasts, all that kind of stuff, Heidi Harris Show. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you, Ethan, for coming in with me. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right, guys, see ya.
Get more at 971talk.com.